This is The Record. Can comedy wake up your soul? Imam Jamal Rahman thinks so. Regular listeners will recognize him as one of the three interfaith amigos. He's co-founder of the Interfaith Community Sanctuary in Seattle, and he has a new book. It's called Sacred Laughter of the Sufis. It's about the mythical Mullah Nasruddin, the village simpleton, and it's a collection of stories and lessons about life and about laughter. Imam Jamal Rahman, thank you so much for coming in. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much, Marcy.
When you think about religion, or when I think about religion and religious teachings, I don't normally think about humor. So what is the role of humor when it comes to religion and spirituality?
Well, spirituality is really about cultivating, in one way, a spaciousness, inner spaciousness, outer spaciousness, making us think and feel outside the box, you might say. So when great sages, for example, they say that God is a serious subject, then when a sage says, what is this? The lover visible, the beloved invisible. Whose crazy idea was this? That's humor. It makes us open up and reflect. So Rumi, for example, said, sell your cleverness and buy bewilderment.
Wow. You made me think also of the Dalai Lama, who does a lot of laughing.
Oh, yes.
As well as serious contemplation. So the Mullah Nasruddin stories, are these yours or do these come out of a tradition of storytelling?
Oh, no. This has been a classical tradition for hundreds of years in the spirituality of Islam, of really elaborating on spiritual insights, not only through Quranic verses, sayings of the Prophet, but also through these very sometimes humorous stories.
So the idea is that somebody who one might describe as a simpleton or an innocent can ask the kinds of questions maybe some of us who purport to be more sophisticated don't?
Yes, the mullah gives us permission to think and feel outside the envelope, you might say. You know, he's a village idiot and a sage rolled into one. He does not aspire to be a teacher, so therefore he is a great teacher. He doesn't seek your approval or my approval. That is why we all approve of him. But most of all, he is really willing to laugh at his foibles. And that really gives us permission to do that also.
I'm speaking with Imam Jamal Rahman, and he has a new book about laughter. How did we come to think of religion as a serious undertaking anyways, if as we mentioned, there is this centuries-long tradition of laughter?
Yes. Well, you know, what happens is, of course, religion and religious institutions get entwined with the conflict over power, economics, and politics. And that makes it a serious subject because the ego gets involved.
Huh. Well, I mean, we're watching that happen right now, for example, in Iraq, where we see very violent and dangerous fighting between two sects, two groups from the same religion. And so I wonder, from your perspective, as somebody who is immersed in the religious life, where is the line between spirituality and sort of a rigidity or a codification of beliefs that doesn't allow for anyone to believe differently?
Yes. Well, you know, this turmoil we see outside of ourselves, in a cliched way, we all know this, is really a reflection of the turmoil we have inside of ourselves. Every religion, including Islam, says the real purpose of religion is to help you become a more developed, more complete human being so you can do righteous deeds. However, this is very difficult work, very inconvenient work, so we avoid this. And this is the root of the problem.
Well, what about the idea of, churches or the institutions that have grown up around the spiritual teachings? Because of all the faiths that I can think of, the major faiths, they weren't about necessarily an institution. They came out of an individual's awareness of something beyond himself. For the most part, they are he's. But how does an institution fit into this? And I know Mullah Nasruddin also addresses this in your book.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, the problem becomes that religious institutions, it doesn't matter what the religion is, over time they become more invested in recruitment and fundraising. You know, the common story in the monotheistic tradition where God comes down and reveals certain basic truths to some people. But then the devil comes along and says, let me organize that for you. And that becomes religion.
Wow. I'm sure that leaders of churches, if they're listening right now, maybe have a knee-jerk reaction to that, thinking, oh, no, I have a house of God.
Yes.
Not necessarily a house of Satan.
There's a wonderful Mulla Nasruddin story about that. You know, he's invited one stormy evening to visit this house of worship, and all the clerics, they're outdoing themselves in talking about their superior religion, how it is better than any other religion. The storm becomes very fierce, and this is an allegorical story, and the rafters of the house of worship, they begin to creak and groan and sway ominously. And the head cleric says, please don't worry. These rafters, out of love for God, are singing hymns of praise to Allah. And then Mullah says, excuse me, what if out of love for God, these rafters decide to bow and prostrate to God?
And everybody leaves that building,
don't
they?
And that is about the inevitable corruption of these institutions.
Well, it's interesting to me, and I know this isn't the topic of your book, but I know you came together with the other two interfaith amigos at a time of world conflict, and you three have spent a lot of time thinking about that. And when I look at what's happening in Iraq right now, and this very extreme group that goes by the acronym ISIS now, I watch them going from city to city and saying, we rule first by religion. But when you say something like that, it's not, it strikes me, the kind of contemplations of faith that you bring into the studio today. And where does that difference happen? Is it a corruption?
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a wonderful saying that we are searching and looking in the branches and leaves for what really occurs in the roots. This really is a fight over access to oil revenues, in particular in Iraq. It's about politics. It's about economics. And it's about also, as you said, that extremist vein in a human being. When they don't do that inner work, there's a verse in the Quran that says, when there is chronic anger, bitterness, hate in one's life, it's not that the eyes have become blind, the hearts have become blind. So many hearts have become blind. And the sad thing is, we know from spirituality, when hearts do become blind, you can use reason, you can use force, it will not work. What will work eventually is those higher virtues, compassion, forgiveness, reconciliation, higher understanding. But that requires us to be spiritual in our nature.
I'm speaking with Imam Jamal Rahman, one third of the three interfaith amigos, whose book is called Sacred Laughter of the Sufis. And these sorts of conflicts are by no means limited to Muslim groups, because you can look at Northern Ireland with the also centuries-old conflict between Catholic and Protestant. There's Jew and Muslim. I mean, it's just everywhere in our society. So to go back to this idea of laughter or the seed of spirituality, what do you need to let that take root, and as opposed to conflict or violence?
Well, you know, we have to go back to our roots in terms of, I'm talking about spirituality now, to look at ourselves. These situations you have discussed, for the three of us interfaith amigos, our most favorite story is of that of the mullah who goes to work, opens his lunch pail box, and what does he find? A cheese sandwich. Second day, third day, fourth day, it's always a lousy cheese sandwich. 10th day, he says, I'm getting sick and tired of this lousy cheese sandwich. So his puzzled co-worker say, Mullah, why don't you ask your wife? You can be persuasive to ask her to make you a different kind of sandwich. He says, I'm not married. Who makes them? I do. And that's the problem. The problem is with us. All of us.
Imam Jamal Rahman is co-founder of the Interfaith Community Sanctuary in Seattle. He's one of the three interfaith amigos, and he's just made me laugh. His new book is called Sacred Laughter of the Sufis. And if you want more, he'll be speaking at 7 p.m. tonight at University Bookstore on the Ave in Seattle. It's always a pleasure to see you here.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.